Good morning. Welcome to Longmeadow Church of the Brethren. As you can see, I'm not Pastor Paul. We left him have a Sunday off, so he is off vacationing as we speak. And we just invite you in, hope that you will learn something maybe you haven't learned and that God will bless this message to you. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the privilege to be in your house, to the privilege to serve you, and the privilege to read your word and be able to be in peace at our gathering, Lord. I pray that you bless everyone in this congregation and those who are in their homes or wherever they are listening to this. We pray that you would bless and strengthen, because we know, Lord, that you are a giving God and that you know our needs. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Pray that you bless this lesson, this message to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul usually gives a joke. Well, I don't have a joke this morning. I don't have too many. I remember jokes for a while, and then I forget the punch line, and I mess up. I'll get up to the end, and I'm going, what was the end? And that kind of ruins it. But today, there's a question that God asks Moses. And on TV, you know, you hear them, I forget which, Capital One, I think, is the credit card that says, what's in your wallet? Well, God has a question for Moses today. And I'm just going to read you, I'm going to read the scripture, but the one that starts it off is, the Lord said unto him, what's in your hand? And Moses replied, a rod. And we are not concerned about what's in your wallet today. We're worried about, or not worried about, but concerned with what's in our hand, because we all are given something to do. And I'm just going to read this from the upper room. This is what got my attention. And that thing about what was in your hand. I didn't realize that God... I remember reading the story about God calling Moses and all of that, but I never remembered that he asked him what was in his hand, because, you know, Moses started making all these excuses about why he couldn't do what he was supposed to do. It says, Moses felt unequipped for the task God placed in front of him. However, in God's eyes, Moses had what he needed, a rod. And with that rod, Moses performed miracles in Egypt and used it to part the Red Sea, allowing the Israelites to pass through. That same rod brought Joshua victory in battle, and it made water gush from a rock. What Moses overlooked, God used to shape the course of history. Today, God is asking the same question of us. What is that in your hand? It could be a pen, cooking utensil, computer, a ball, a phone, a certificate, a diploma, a small plot of land. We should not dismiss what we have, no matter how small or how unworthy it may seem. God is ready to use it to fulfill God's purpose in our lives. God created us that we may serve. And we read in the scripture that there is much harvest on God's farm, but the harvesters are few. So God is calling on us. Let us embrace the tools that God has given us so that we may be ready and willing to serve. God will transform that which we see as just a rod into something great for God's glory. I think that really touched me, because it is so true. We feel unworthy to do the things that God asks us to do. But he will give us the wisdom. He'll give us the strength. Through his spirit, he can use anything. He can use something so tiny as a piece of wood, you know, as a rod. The rod has, as I was looking up scriptures about the rod, how important rods were to shepherds. You know, it helped them to herd their sheep. It helped them to keep them in control, and the different ways that God used Moses' rod to do many things that he needed to do through Moses. And so God can use whatever. So Don't worry about what's in your wallet. Worry about what's in your hand. I'd like for us to look. The main scripture here is the story of God calling. Okay, it's in Exodus 4, 1 through 17. And it's from the Pew Bible. Moses answered, "What if they do not believe or listen to me and say, 'The Lord did not appear to you'?" Then the Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" "A staff." Of course, this is another translation. "Or a rod," he replied. The Lord said, "Throw it to the ground." They stuck together. Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, "Reach out your hand and take it by the tail." And so Moses reached out and took hold of the snake and turned it back into a staff in his hand. "This," said the Lord, "is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has appeared to you." Then the Lord said, "Put your hand inside your cloak." So Moses put his hand inside his cloak, and when he took it out, it was leprous like snow. "Now put it back into your cloak," he said. So Moses put his hand back into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. Then the Lord said, "If they do not believe you or pay attention to the first miraculous sign, they may believe the second. But if they do not believe these two signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground. And the water that you take from the river will become blood on the dry ground." So Moses said to the Lord, "O Lord, I have never been eloquent." Now see, God's trying to help him here. And he keeps coming up with something else. First of all, he didn't think he was worthy. He didn't have what God needed. So God said, "Hey, you got that rod, use it. Show the people that I'm dealing with you and I'm telling you what to do. They will believe you." And, you know, God was asking for Moses to obey him. And that's what he wants Moses to do. Because if we are obedient, God will use us. Now, we can argue with God, like Moses keeps coming up with something else. The next thing, and we all have heard, you know, that Moses wasn't a good speaker. And he said to the Lord, "Oh Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." The Lord said to him, "Who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight and makes him blind? It is I. Is it not I?" Excuse me. "The Lord. Now go, I will help you speak and I will teach you what to say." But Moses said, "O Lord, please send someone else to do it." Moses is a hard cookie, isn't he? He's not going to give in yet. He's still fighting. And you know, I'll just take a little break here and then we'll finish the rest of this. But can we apply that to ourselves? When God asks us to do something and we give him all these excuses. I haven't been to college. I don't have a degree. I haven't been to Bible school. I've not studied scripture like I should. But you know, God looks beyond that, because God is so powerful that he can make up for our insignificant problems in our lives. To him, that's nothing. Like he said, who made your mouth? You know, who created us? Who created this body that we're saying, "Oh, I can't speak. I can't do this." And he's asking Moses, "Just follow me. You know, do what I ask you to do." And when he finally stopped arguing, he could use him. So we need to remember that when God calls on us something to do that we don't think we can do. Because, you know, the Bible says, through I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, "What about your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and his heart will be glad when he sees you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him. But take this staff or rod in your hand so you can perform miraculous signs with it." Take a moment to think about that. God appears to you, and he's talking to you. Well, not appears physically, but you can't see him, but you can hear this voice. You know, what are we going to say when God says, "What's in your hand?" You know, what is it that I have that I could use, that I could give to you? Because we know that when we give something to God, it becomes a big thing. It may be a little thing. It may be one of these things, like maybe you're a good cook. Maybe you can bless people with your food. Maybe you can sew. Maybe you can repair torn things or make new things for people to wear. Maybe you can write. Some people can bless by writing. And, you know, not everybody can sit down and write a beautiful story or write a beautiful poem. I know people who do that all the time, and they are blessed. That is a gift. And we'll talk a little bit more about the gifts of God later on. But, you know, God gives each one of us something to do. And whether it's a rod, a piece of wood, and then we get up to a young man named David. What was in his hand? He didn't have a great big... Well, he did for a while, because Saul tried to give him his protection and his armor to go out and meet Goliath. And you know what happened. He was too little, too small frame to even carry it. It was too heavy for him. He couldn't do it. So he had to go the way God wanted him to go. You know, sometimes we think we have the answers to our problems, and we really don't. We think it should be a certain way. But it's not always the way we think it should be. And sometimes we're not happy with the way things are going. And I know, I've said myself, I know there's got to be a lesson here, but I don't see it. I don't understand. Where's this coming from? Why do we have to go through this? We've all questioned God. Why do you have to go through rough times? Why do you have to be sick? Why do you have to have pain? God works all things together for good. And that scripture, you know, scripture is true no matter whether we believe it or not. It's there, and all we need to do is practice what the scripture teaches us. If we could think like God, and of course we can't, but we strive to be more like thinking like God and like Jesus when he was on this earth. Not looking at our insufficiencies, but to look for the things that make us worthy, because within ourselves we're not worthy. And before I get into David, I want to talk about when they crossed the Red Sea. Now, we all know that God, let me see, did he do the one? Yeah, he did the one. Okay, before they crossed the Red Sea, that's when they were thirsty, and God told him to use that rod to hit the rock. To strike the rock. Now we know the story that I think Moses struck it an extra time or so and had to pay a price for disobedience, but he honored him following and striking the rock with that. And then when they got to the Red Sea, and you know that the Egyptians were following them because Pharaoh finally gave in and left them go, but then he had second thoughts. Even after he had lost his firstborn son and all of the plagues and all of the stuff they still took out over the desert chasing them, and they had to get away because they had to cross the Red Sea. So they did. When they got there, God said for him to lift up his rod, and he told him to hold it out over the sea, and he divided the Red Sea. So the rod was kind of like an extension of his hand, because the rod couldn't be out there by itself, right? Because, I mean, God could make it be out there by itself if he wanted to, but he needed Moses to hold it in his hand. So God used something that had no life in it on its own. He uses things that we think there's no way could be a blessing to someone, but you never know. It could be a kind word. It could be something so simple, sending a birthday card. And as you, like Marvin brought up, you know, when we're having our birthdays and celebrations, it really means something when someone remembers you. It's wonderful to know that people love you and that God loves us. And we just appreciate the love that we see every day through different people who minister to us. And, okay, let me see. I'll get up here to David. Wait a minute, I think I just wrote it down. Okay. All right. Let's see. Another page. Okay, in 1 Samuel 16, 10 through 13. Okay, 10 through 13. Now, this is when David was anointed by Samuel. He went there to find a new person to become eventually the king. And, of course, he didn't choose David as the first. He had to call, "Do you have any others?" And he brought him. Okay, starting in the 10th verse. Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he took Jesse. "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse answered, "but he's tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." And he sent him and had him brought in. For he was ruddy with a fine appearance and handsome figures. Then the Lord said, "Rise and appoint him. He's the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. From that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David with power. Samuel then went to Ramah. So he anointed him to become, and then you know the story, that when they were meeting with Goliath, and Goliath, well, the boys had gone off to battle, and David was sent there to take them food and everything. And Goliath was standing there shouting and tempting them to come after him. And let's see, 2 Samuel 17, 40 to 46. Then he took his staff in his hand, this is David, and chose five smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, came running closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. And he said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods, with a smaller G, not the God. "I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with the sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And all those gathered around here will know that it is not by the sword or the spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." So think about that. God did not have to use swords. He didn't have to use weapons. But this young man went out and was obedient to do what he told him to do. And the mightiest weapon that we have, because God doesn't change. And what's interesting to me, and kind of exciting, the same God that talked to Moses and talked to David and talked to Abraham talks to us, because he's non-ending. He's always there. He is forever. He is, has been, and will be always, whether we believe it or not. That's up to us. But you know, we can access his power by being obedient. You know, David could have said, "Gee, I'm just a kid. I'm not going out there against that Philistine. Why would I go and put myself out there?" Right? I mean, that's what you think. But he went out, he knew that God was with him. And he went with God going before him. God was his shield, and God will be our shield. And it didn't matter how much physical protection that Goliath had. From what I understand, he had very little skin exposed, but this little place on his forehead was the only thing that was really there that was open to be hit. And that's where the stone hit. So David, being used of God, maybe he was just so good at using the slingshot. I don't know. I think God drove that stone into his forehead and knocked him down. And then David didn't even have a sword with which to cut his head off, because that was the deal. Whoever got done in that day, their head was going to be cut off and paraded in front of the enemy. So God used a little stone and a slingshot. So what I'm saying to you, we don't know what God has in store for us. We don't know where we might be able to minister to people. But you know, not everybody goes to the mission field. Not everybody goes and does all these wonderful things. And there have been people who have served God mightily, and God has used them mightily. David Jeremiah was talking about Billy Graham this morning, and he said about how that Billy Graham never changed his message. His message was always the gospel. Did you ever hear Billy Graham preach and not preach the gospel? Think about it. He always used the gospel, because he knew that was the strongest, most important thing that we can learn from God. And that all the things that he does, and he works in mighty ways, he works in ways we cannot see, as that little song says, but he will make a way for me. It all comes back to us having faith in God and being obedient to him. So we all need to be, when God says, I need you to call so-and-so and talk to them. You may not even know that they're going through a rough time. You may not know that something just happened that really hurt them, or they're just having a sad time, or they're depressed, or whatever. We don't know that, but God does in His Spirit. He knows and can minister that to us and tell us what to do. So what we need to do, whatever's in our hand, whether it's a pen, whether it's a pair of scissors, maybe it's a bottle of glue, maybe it's whatever you can do to bless someone. Because God said that the most important gift that He gives to us is His love. And we need to remember that He gives us gifts so that we can gift other people. And that's how we show our love. You know, the song that says, you know, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We'll work side by side. We will, you know, all the different things that you do, and people will know that you're a Christian. But if we don't have that love, we're not showing what God is all about. The most important thing in our life is what we do with what God puts in our hand, that we show the love of God to those around us. And not everybody's loving, and not everybody's easy to love. Some people won't even accept what you say. You know, some people just ignore it. Like, you know, I've said things to different people and they just change the subject, you know. They don't want to hear about that. But I remember one time I don't know if you all knew the little story about I had my finger got turned black on the tip. And I do have a little problem with circulation, but I was afraid I was going to lose that finger because all I could think of was gangrene or something terrible. And we prayed, and Toddy, my dear little grandson, who's not so little anymore, he's quite a prayer warrior, and he prayed, and everybody was praying. So when I went to the doctor, he was saying about what he might have to do and blah, 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 and he told me what to do to avoid any more problem. He said, we may have to take the tip of that finger off. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you know, because I had had a friend who had lost a thumb because she had bad circulation. And you know, I knew it was traumatic for her. So I went back to him after I forget how long. That fell off. The black fell off. Now, it didn't come from... It had to come from inside, you know, inside my finger, not gonna get oxygen to that part of my body. It was this finger. And it dropped off. So when I went in and I'm saying to him, he said, well, what did you do? And I said, well, you know, he told me to cut back on, you know, caffeine. Don't be around smokers. Secondhand smoke, he said, was really bad and blah, blah, blah. So, and I said, and I can tell you what else. I said, you may not believe this, but my grandson prayed for me, and he didn't know what to say. And he said, we'll take all the help we can get. That's what he said. And I thought, yes, we better, huh? But he said, that goes to show you what happens when you do nothing. But we really didn't do nothing. We did something. We prayed. And our faith and our prayer and our love is what's everlasting. Doesn't matter how much money you have or whatever, but the richness needs to be in your soul as God gives it to us. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I do pray that we will obey when you ask us to do something, that we will go and do what you tell us to do, because we know that, Lord, you would use that no matter how small a thing or how big a thing. We know that, God, you would bring that to pass and that there would be a blessing. And we know that you bless those who bless others. And we thank you so much for your love, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.